there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Dan and Kyle in the morning. Let's talk to the pros. Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Harris, find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. It is Friday. We'll be doing a game-by-game preview with Kyle Yates in just a few minutes. But first, as we do every Friday, let us quickly talk to our friend, Dr. David Chow, over at ProFootballDoc.com. Find him on Twitter at ProFootballDoc. Doc, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk with us for a few minutes. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yourself?
I'm doing fine. There's a lot of injuries to talk about, so let's just jump right into it here. Let's start with Dalvin Cook, who has battled the ankle injury he missed last week. There's optimism right now. He's questionable for this week's game, but there's optimism that he's going to play. So do you think he can play, and can he be effective?
I do think he can play, and I do think he can be effective. Now, admittedly, I was a little overly optimistic. I thought he could last Sunday, right? We talked about it, and it ended up he didn't, even though he did not practice all week. By looking at the video, I thought he could make it last Sunday. And there were lots of reports from the major national guys that game time decision, leaning towards, leaning against, and in the end he didn't. So it seemed like he was close, which makes this week, I think, more on the probable side, even though that category doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Let's talk about a couple of Steelers receivers here, Doc. I mean, they've all had their injury concerns here. You had Diontae Johnson, who missed last week with the knee injury, but he's actually off the injury report entirely, as is Juju Smith-Schuster, who suffered some rib injury. They're both not even on the injury report. Who is on the injury report is the only guy who came out of last week healthy, and that is Chase Claypool, who is put up with a hamstring injury. And again, he popped up as a limited participant on Thursday with the hamstring injury. Then he did not practice today. There's no video, Doc, as far as I can tell, for you to analyze, but just your experience as a team doctor, what does it say to you when a guy pops up on an injury report with a hammy on Thursday and then doesn't practice on Friday?
Well, you know, certainly we're reading the tea leaves a little bit here without video. We know also know Chase Claypool got banged up quite a bit. There was a couple times in week three that he was slow to get up and everything. And prior to the reports coming out, I was saying that Diontae Johnson, greater than Juju Smith-Schuster in terms of being able to play, et cetera, greater than Chase Claypool, and that turns out to be true so far, right? Because Johnson's going to be okay. Juju's probably going to take the rib block injection and play and be okay. Chase Claypool makes me very nervous. The Steelers don't say a lot about injuries. And look, what does this practice pattern mean? I don't like to just rely on the practice pattern. Certainly could mean, you know, he was limited and they just gave him a rest day and maybe he's going to play. But my worry is that the definition of limited practice is you practiced one play. And when you go LP then to DNP, there is the possibility that you got the hamstring in practice, either one play in or 99% of the way through or 50% of the way through. So therefore, you're limited. And then the follow-up DNP means that you weren't able to go, meaning not real good for Sunday. So I would lean towards the doubtful side of questionable on Chase Claypool at this point in time.
How about Tyler Lockett? He suffered that injury, you know, that you had the whole team coming around him. It looked bad. He was down for a while. Then he got off under his own power, and he actually came back into the game with this knee injury. Now, I haven't seen too much on him, Doc. I've been looking around. I haven't seen too much about the practice reports, but, I mean, you were able to see what happened in that video in the injury. So what do you think just generally about Lockett's health?
Well, when he went down, look, he made me look bad with his toughness. He came back in. I'm not sure he would with the MCL, what it looked like. You know, he got his knee and ankle rolled up on, et cetera. But he did come back in, although he looked a little stiff running around. He was limited practice on Wednesday. On Thursday, with a hip, did not practice, right? So the hip is sort of the issue, and we don't have Friday's report out yet. So there's the big question mark. And look, if Tyler Lockett can go, that's a potential huge advantage to the 49ers. Sorry, to the Seahawks against the 49ers, because the 49ers have a lot of cornerbacks that are down.
Mm-hmm. How about Daryl Henderson here, Doc? I mean, there's trending towards playing. Sean McVay is optimistic that he's going to play. He's obviously got the rib cartilage issue. Sean McVay has described it as a pain tolerance issue. So just in your experience, I mean, can guys play through this sort of, injury, the cartilage stuff, and be effective and last all game?
Yeah, they can. And the fact that he was limited practice this week bodes very well. I think he will play and be the main guy. And remember, rib cartilage injuries can be given intercostal nerve blocks, just like rib fractures. So, and there's no chance of the cartilage causing a pneumothorax lung issue. Of course, you have to be careful with the rib block injection, as we all know. But, signs are pointing up for Daryl Henderson. And on our SIC scores for the individual and fantasy performance, we'll be elevating Daryl Henderson pretty high.
How about the Titans wide receivers here, Doc? Both of them have already been ruled out right now with hamstring injuries, A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. When do you think we can expect to see both of them back on the field?
Great question. A.J. Brown, we were pessimistic from the get-go when he left the game in the first quarter that he would be able to make it this week, and it easily could extend beyond this week as well. Julio Jones was said to be tightness in the beginning, but went back and looked at video, and it did look like it was consistent with a hamstring strain. And even earlier this week, we were sort of predicting that they would both be out, which is now the case. But here's the issue. They're both known to be out this week now, but they're far from guaranteed to be playing next week. If anything, I would lean towards Julio being questionable next week at best, and A.J. Brown, I would lean towards the doubtful side for next week for him.
All right, Joe Mixon found the end zone last night, but at the end of the game when they were trying to salt it away, he was on the sidelines. The only thing I've seen is a description of what is a, quote, minor ankle injury, but I don't know. What do you think, Doc? Obviously, last year he was, had that weird foot sprain. We expected him to come back, and then he wound up missing the season. Do you think this is minor, given that he's got 10 days before the next game?
Yeah, that last year was interesting because he even celebrated the touchdown with a dance, and we never saw him again. But I put up last night and this morning video and a post at profootballdoc.com where by video, he has it. The good news is it is minor. The bad news, it's a high ankle sprain. Left high ankle sprain, minor. He does get his foot out from under it. You do see him on the sidelines later with the left ankle spatted with black tape, but he's limping and does not return. Look, having 10 days instead of 7 is potentially helpful, but I'm not sure it's going to be helpful enough. I think this injury is not bad enough to require injury reserve, but it is bad enough that he is going to likely miss some time, at least next week, I would say. If not 2 weeks, we'll see. Depends on how much swelling there is. But I'm dubious on his playing next week with a high ankle sprain, even though it is, quote, minor.
disappointing news for fantasy managers and Joe Mixon. Last one, Doc, the person who I get the most questions about is Christian McCaffrey in terms of trade value and how long, you know, we think he's going to be out. He's already out for this week. He hasn't been placed on IR. So given what you saw with the hamstring injury, when do you think he's going to be able to return?
Well, as I always say, it's absolutely hard to judge the severity of hamstring just by video. And I actually was at the game, but I didn't get any better look at it. He was in the blue tent for a long time there. But here's the thing. All along, I thought on Christian McCaffrey, it would be great news if he could avoid injured reserve. I thought he was probably headed for injured reserve. The team has been adamant about no injured reserve. And at this point, he hasn't been put on. But here's what you have to understand about that. You can't always project hamstrings out exactly when they're going to return. We know he's not going to play this week. But if the Panthers think there's a 10 or 20% chance he could play after missing just two games, wouldn't you carry him on your roster and figure out your roster another way? Because Christian McCaffrey is so valuable. Now, if this were the 53rd guy on the team, I guarantee you he would have already been put on injured reserve. I think this is an injury where he's going to miss 3 weeks, but they're trying to see if they can get him to miss only two because he's so valuable. That's sort of my thought on CMC.
As always, Doc, fantastic insight. Just remind everybody where they can find more of you and your work.
Twitter at ProFootballDoc, and ProFootballDoc.com is where we have all the videos and the posts, the field views, the SIC scores and everything. And I always say, look, I'm honored to be on the show with you because I am far from a fantasy pro. I am an injury expert. So if there's any fantasy manager, trade questions, CMC, don't ask me, ask Dan. I'm just giving you the injury side of it. And then Dan can answer what you really should do and what your options are.
Yeah, but I admit I am on ProFootballDoc.com all the time because you do have great stuff over there. All right, guys, we're going to get into the rest of the show here with Yates and break down every game in just a second. All right, guys, it's time for Dan and Kyle in the morning. You guys know what this is. This is a breakdown of all our starts and our sits from all the games this weekend. Plus, we recap last night's game. Yates, are you ready to get going?
I am. It was good to have a few days off to be able to just kind of relax and grieve in my own way. You know, we all grieve in different ways. So I know a lot of people have pointed out my absence on the podcast. I needed that. I needed some time away, but was able to find writing therapeutic. So was able to write the entire game plan for this week, which was you know, helpful and beneficial. But I know that this is what Tags would want, is for us to get back to talking some football. So back here on the podcast today, ready to roll.
Tags used to yell at me about many of my takes on this show, so I know somewhere he's going to be yelling about the fact that I'm going to have the right takes here, Yates, and yours are going to be pretty much disregarded. But anyway, if you want to see someone with great hair and adequate fantasy advice, you can watch Yates here at our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. All of our podcasts are videoed. We do 4 live streams per week, including 2 on Sunday morning to get you ready for all your start-sit decisions. We've got a ton of videos, 123,000 subscribers. Come join us again, youtube.com/fantasypros. Also, click that little notifications button so you can be notified every single time that we do any new video or any live stream. Yates, as always, let us start with the over-under challenge. Again, that is fantasypros.com/challenge. It is completely free to play. 10 fantasy point over-unders, weekly prizes, season-long prizes, sponsored by Caesars. Again, fantasypros.com/challenge. Yates, let's start with Matthew Stafford against Arizona, 20.3 fantasy points.
At this point, the way that Matthew Stafford is playing, I think that you got to take the over here. He is now just locked into my starting lineup every single week.
Yep, he is fantastic. I'm also going over, how about Russell Wilson? Divisional game, San Francisco, 20.8 fantasy points.
Yeah, you typically see these divisional matchups be a little bit closer, a little bit tighter. I'll take the under here slightly.
I'm going over still. I think this is going to be a big one for him. I think he bounces back. I know Russell Wilson coming off 2 kind of gross losses. I think you're going to have a big game here. Najee Harris against Green Bay, 15.3.
I mean, he's going to, how many targets is he going to see? Yeah. At this point, I'll take the over. I mean, they need him. So I'll take the over here.
I mean, he's going to get 20 half PPR points just, you know, by virtue of his, reception. So he'll be fine. Antonio Gibson against Atlanta, 14.1.
Against Atlanta, I like this line. I think he can be involved as a receiver again this week. He didn't see a high target total, but was able to break off that long run. I think he can hit the over here. I'll take the over.
I don't know why you'd give him a high target total when he takes, you know, the first 173 yards to the house. Ezekiel Elliott, I'm also going over. Ezekiel Elliott against Carolina, 14 fantasy points.
This is going to be a fun one to watch, a fun matchup, the Dallas running backs versus this Carolina run defense. I'm going over here, though. Ezekiel Elliott has looked great. I think he's bounced back in a big way after week one. I'll take the over.
I will as well. DJ Moore against Dallas, 14.5 fantasy points.
He'll match up against Trayvon Diggs here, which is going to be a fun matchup to watch as well. But at this point, the target share, it's too much, so I will go over.
I'm going to go under here. Diggs scares me, man. Like, he's been playing so well. And again, I think he needs a touchdown here for Moore, and that's not Moore's specialty. So I'll just lean under here. How about Debo against Seattle, 13.7 fantasy points?
You're starting to see Brandon Ayuk become part of this offense again, which he probably should have been the entire time. But yes. I think Debo at this point is still just bringing an extremely high floor. So I'll go over as well.
I will again go under. Again, I think you need the touchdown for this one, so I'm going to go under. Brandon Cooks against Buffalo, 13.1.
The target volume should be there. Much tougher matchup this week, though. So I'm going to play it safe. I'll take the under.
That is the correct answer. Allen Robinson against Detroit, 12 fantasy points.
The line here should be 18, and I would probably still take the over, but with this offense, who knows what's going on here? You can't confidently take the over.
Confidently take the over. That is true, but I will unconfidently take the over. Kyle Pitts against Washington, last one, 8.5 fantasy points.
A fine line. I think that, honestly, this might be a push for me. I will take the under in that instance.
All right, I will as well. You guys know the deal. It's Friday morning. We don't know the practice reports. Maybe something breaks in the middle of this. We will try to give you caveats since we don't know exactly. But as always, let us start with the Thursday night game. Bengals 24, Jaguars 21. Really weird game here. Let's start with Joe Mixon. He was barely involved at the start. He winds up with an okay game here. He had 16 carries, 67 yards on the ground. He does get the touchdown, thankfully, when the Joe Burrow touchdown, the sneak was reversed. He only has one catch on two targets for 0 yards. He did suffer an injury at the end of this game. Last I saw Yates, it was believed that it was a minor ankle injury. So I guess let's hope so. So, I mean, how do you feel about Mixon after this game?
I think that he is just in this like high volume locked in RB1, right? Because territory, because many of the other running backs that are in that territory where they're living and dying on efficiency and touchdown volume. And with Joe Mixon, we at least have the volume on the ground to be able to fall back on. So I don't know if he's going to have as high of an upside, you know, as high upside as we maybe thought to begin the season, but I still think that he's bringing an extremely safe floor, and that's what I want right now in fantasy. A lot of the running back options are not bringing that safe floor week in and week out, and I think Mixon is. So yeah, the injury kind of scared me at the end of the game there. I think the numbers would have been higher, right? We saw Samaje Perine run the ball 4 or 5 times on that last drive. So I think that we would have seen the numbers be a little bit higher here for Mixon if he hadn't suffered that injury. Did look like it was a minor thing. He was, you know, just on the sideline, you know, and he was interacting with Burrow there towards the end of the game. So it didn't seem like it was a major thing. I'm not concerned moving forward. He'll have an extra bit of time to rest.
This strikes me as a buying opportunity for Mixon because I think fantasy managers, I mean, I ranked him, I think I ranked him 4th, Yates, this week.
I had him at 3, yeah.
Yeah, this was the spot for him where I think his fantasy managers wanted him to go off, and he didn't, despite the touchdown. Like, he just didn't have the giant game that I think everybody hoped, and now he's got the little banged up injury, and you know when that happens, Yates, everybody's going to be like, oh man, right, here we go again, yeah. Right? So this is the time where I think trying to go out and acquire Mixon in a trade is probably a good move. Meanwhile, Burrow looks good, 25 to 32, 348 yards, 2 touchdowns. Both go to CJ Uzama, 6 targets, 5 catches, 95 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Anything here with Uzama or just move on?
No, it's just a one-game fluke. His volume up to this point of the season has been nothing that we could rely on for fantasy purposes. So it's just one of those things where, you know, we'll chase this as fantasy managers and then we'll be disappointed the next week. I'm not buying into it.
Yeah, I think I had him ranked 41st at tight end this week, so I will have him a little bit higher next week, but not too much. Meanwhile, no T. Higgins here again. Sounds like he should hopefully be able to suit up next week, so that's probably the plan. Meanwhile, in his absence, Ja'Marr Chase, 9 targets, 6 catches, 77 yards. Tyler Boyd looked good, 11 targets, 9 catches, 118 yards. Any thoughts here on the Bengals wide receivers?
No, just continue to start them moving forward, right? We'll have to adjust expectations for Tyler Boyd when T. Higgins comes back into the lineup, but when he's out, Tyler Boyd gets a massive bump up, and he's producing with the opportunity. So nothing really to take away from last night.
For the Jaguars, DJ Chark fractures his ankle early. Yep. I assume he's going to miss the whole season. That opens the door for both Marvin Jones and Laviska Shenault, and only Laviska Shenault walks through the door. Seven targets, six catches, 99 yards through the air. He adds on the 11-yard run, you know, which is really just sort of a pass behind the line. Marvin Jones, who has been super steady, somehow right. No Chark, completely uninvolved in this game, just three targets, catches all of them for 24 yards. So is this Yates finally, especially now with no Chark, the long-awaited Laviska Shenault breakout?
Potentially. I mean, Shenault has always had the talent, and we thought that he would have the opportunity in this offense. Now, the offense looked terrible through the first 3 weeks, so that certainly hampered, you know, Chenault's fantasy outlook and his ceiling. So I think moving forward, the targets have to go somewhere, right? And I think Dan Arnold is going to become involved in this offense once he gets up to speed. I think that we're going to see him play a role. But Shenault absolutely benefits from DJ Chark missing time here. So I think that he is now back in the conversation of he needs to be rostered in your leagues. And I think that he can be a fine flex option. But I'm not going to go too crazy here and suddenly say, you know, Shenault is the, you know, is a locked in wide receiver three and Marvin Jones is a flex option. Like, I still think it's going to be Jones moving forward. But Shenault absolutely gets a bump up.
I completely agree. Meanwhile, Carlos Hyde inactive, which I found out on Slack from my guy Yates right there. I mean, like, P.S., he's inactive. Thank you for that hat tip, Yates. James Robinson, though, in his absence, 18 carries, 78 yards, and two touchdowns, just one catch for a negative 2 yards. I mean, Yates, at this point, he's just a locked and loaded RB2, right?
Yep, absolutely. It's so funny as an analyst watching the games, and throughout the first little bit, you have these kind of emotions that just go, oh, I ranked this guy way too low this week. And that was what I was going through my mind with James Robinson through that first drive, right? He comes out here and scores, and I was like, oh, man. I mean, I had him at 15, but I was like, oh, yeah. Man, I feel like this is way too low with the pace that he's on for this game. Carlos Hyde was not a healthy scratch. That was something that came out. It was that he was a healthy scratch. He showed up to the stadium and his shoulder didn't feel right. So I think that he will be back. He will be active. But this is the recipe for success for the Jaguars, is get the ball into James Robinson's hand. And everyone knew that to go into the season, except Urban Meyer, apparently. So I think moving forward, they're just a locked in high end RB2, honestly.
Yep, I agree with you. All right, before we get into this weekend's game, let me tell you about TickPick. Let me tell you about the season ticket packages to your favorite NFL team that are worth $3,000, by the way, $3,000 that they're giving away, and how you need to go to TickPick.com anytime you need tickets for the NFL or really anything. TickPick is the original no-fee ticket site, okay? By the way, that means they don't charge service fees for their tickets. You know, you go, you want to buy a ticket to an NFL game or any game, you think it lists $20, and then you see that, oh, you're actually paying $15, $20, $25 more per ticket. That's not what TickPick does. They've also teamed up now with Zip, which is a buy now, pay later service provider, and combined, they're giving away five huge season ticket packages to the 2022 NFL season. So every month from now until February, they're going to draw a winner. They just drew one for September. They're going to draw one for October again, and they're going to give away somebody each month season tickets for 2022 season to their favorite NFL team. Again, as I said, each package is worth $3,000. And if you want to enter, all you got to do is go to tickpick.com/pros. That's tickpick.com/pros. All right, let's get to Washington football team going up against the Atlanta Falcons. For Washington, you are starting Antonio Gibson. Now, he was downgraded yesterday. Yeah, it's obviously we don't know anything, but right now we're expecting him to play, right?
Yeah. I think that at this point, we talked about him in the over-under challenge. I think that he's going to play. The shin injury, I think, is what I had last heard, but yeah. I'm not concerned. I think that he suits up.
And again, RB1-ish, right?
Yep, in that territory, low-end RB1.
All right, and you're starting Terry McLaurin with confidence, I assume?
Yes. Yep, I've got Terry McLaurin inside my top 12 on the week.
And is Logan Thomas, we joke about him because he's my dude, is he still a set it and forget it tight end?
Yeah, he's in that like mid-range to low-end tight end one. I've got him currently at 7. So I think that he is just, he's got to find the end zone, but I think out of any of the tight ends, I think he has the best chance to do it. So yeah, Logan Thomas at tight end 7 for me.
Which tight end are you starting in this game if you roster both Logan Thomas or Kyle Pitts?
I have Thomas at 7. I have Pitts at 8.
That is horrible. I have Pitts at 7 and Thomas at 8. So get your stuff together, my friend. Anybody else on Washington who you are considering starting?
No. No.
Very good. I agree. How about the running backs here for Atlanta? Both Mike Davis, Cordarrelle Patterson is like the only guy who's really producing on that team. Are you starting either or both?
I got a question in the Discord AMA yesterday that I did, which was, should I start Allen Robinson or should I start Cordarrelle Patterson? And my response was, I think you have to go with the guaranteed volume of Cordarrelle Patterson, which is an insane sentence to type, but here we are. Cordarrelle Patterson is averaging 14 touches per game over the last two weeks. So I think at this point, I think you can start Cordarrelle Patterson. I don't know if I'd be willing to start him as anything more than a flex option as the at the wide receiver spot. But in the running back position where we've got so many unknowns, once we get outside the top 15, really, then I think, yeah, you can start Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, and I'm going to take the L on this one because, I really wasn't into him as a pickup when he first broke out and everything like that, but it's very clear that their game plan involves him heavily, and I think it is to the expense a little bit, unfortunately, of Kyle Pitts, so we'll see what that is going forward. Obviously, you're starting Calvin Ridley, but where do you have him ranked this week, Gates? Because he's clearly been a disappointment so far.
Yeah, he definitely has been. I've got him at 15 currently on the week. So okay. Calvin Ridley, I think that he is still someone that you absolutely can start and that you should start, but we've just got to adjust our expectations that he is not going to be this top five wide receiver that we thought that he was going into the year.
How about Ridley or McLaurin in this game?
I will take McLaurin.
Okay. Anybody else? I agree, by the way. Anybody else who you're starting on the Falcons?
No, I think Mike Davis is still in that territory, but I don't want to start Mike Davis.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike Davis is the unfortunate, like, you've basically, I'm almost definitely starting him if I drafted him, which, as you guys know, if you followed my content coming into the year, I did draft him quite a bit. I'm still starting him, but this is like a, okay, give me 9.5 PPR points and I will take it and be very happy. Texans visiting the Bills. For the Bills, of course, you are starting Josh Allen. Is he your number one quarterback out of curiosity, Yates, on the week?
Josh Allen is currently at QB1.
Correct. As he is for me, of course, you are starting Stephon Diggs. Are you starting Zach Moss in this game?
Not if I can help it. Zach Moss, I still have concerns. I still have concerns about the workload. He needs to find the end zone. I just don't want to bet on that. He is a flex at best for me. I've got him at 33.
Yeah, I've got him at 31. Again, this is something where I really, just like you, Yates, I do not want to start Zach Moss if I can help it, but there are certainly many situations where I could see starting him. Like, you're starting, I assume, Cordarrelle Patterson over him.
Yes.
As am I. Very good. And you're not starting Devin Singletary. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that.
Yeah, that would be correct.
Okay, how about somebody who most fantasy managers agree is probably the greatest football player ever, Emmanuel Sanders. What do you think of him?
Yeah, I definitely think that you can look at Emmanuel Sanders this week and Cole Beasley, really. The conversation with all four of these wide receivers coming into the year, and it was more so with the three of them, right? Stephon Diggs was in his own tier. We knew what we were going to get. But with Emmanuel Sanders, Cole Beasley, and then Gabriel Davis, it was, okay, which one's going to take that number two wide receiver spot, right? And it was kind of a dart throw as to which one of these guys that you would prefer. And Gabriel Davis isn't seeing many of the snaps. He's rotating in, he's still getting some work, but he's not seeing the majority of the snaps here enough to where Emmanuel Sanders is now a safe option for fantasy football. And so is Cole Beasley. And we saw that last week, especially if the Bills are going to throw the ball 40 plus times per game. Now, I don't know if they're going to need to do that as much here against Houston, but there's still the upside is absolutely there where you can consider these guys as low end wide receiver three, high end flex plays.
Could not agree more. I have Cole Beasley 33rd and Sanders 37th, so you can get away with starting either one of them. And how about Dawson Knox, by the way? Obviously, Houston, I think they've averaged 77 yards allowed to get to the tight end position. So I have Knox at, I know because that was on my prop. Go to youtube.com/bettingpros. One of my props is the Dawson Knox over. I have Dawson Knox at 13 this week, Gates. Am I too high?
I've got him at 15, so definitely okay. In the conversation. And again, once you get past the, ninth tight end, maybe even eighth, then it's just like, yeah, you could start any of these guys.
You can get away with it.
You can get away with it. Dawson Knox at 15. I mean, he's starting to become a factor in this offense.
And I just want to have it on record. Are you starting Dawson Knox or are you starting Jonnu Smith this week?
I will start Dawson Knox this week.
That is my guy right there. For the Texans, there is one player who you even consider, and it's Brandon Cooks. Is that fair?
That would be correct.
And what do you do with Brandon Cooks in a very difficult matchup here? He has produced no matter what, but are you starting Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, I still got him at wide receiver 23. This is the conversation of what we had last week. And he produced in it, but the conversation is he's going to get a minimum of, 10 targets? So even if he reels in 50% of them, he's still bringing a very safe and high floor. And that's kind of what I just want to trust and lean back on. So yeah, tough matchup for sure, but the target volume is going to be there. I've got him at 23 on the week.
As always, you have, you know, outbolded me. I don't know if it's bold. I don't know where ECR has him. I'm at 25. So I was like, oh, I feel like I'm too high on Brandon Cooks given this matchup. But you're at 23. Very good. We see this very similarly. Lions visiting your Bears. All right. First of all, Yates, do we know who or who do you expect to start at quarterback this week for your Bears?
Who knows?
Does it matter?
It really doesn't matter. Okay. I mean, Fields is in the conversation to, you know, for fantasy purposes if he does start. I think that we are going to see Bill Lazor take over play calling duties and hopefully for good get the play sheet out of Matt Nagy's hands. So I think if that is the case, then we could see a bounce back from this offense. But I don't want to trust it. I don't want to trust this offense right now. So that is the if we get word that Bill Lazor is taking over play calling duties, then we can have at least a little bit more faith and Fields moves into the like sneaky start conversation. But outside of that, man, I really just have no faith in this offense whatsoever.
So let's assume it's Fields or maybe it's Dalton. I don't know about you, Yates. This week feels like the week where my projections meets my gut feeling in terms of like, I just have a feeling that Allen Robinson's going to go off in this game. Like, don't care who the quarterback is, right? Don't you feel like this is it? They're going to be like, okay, we have to get this guy involved against a decimated and poor secondary. And yet when I run my projections and I go through it, he right now is wide receiver 29. And I want to move him up like 10 spots at this point. But I can't. So are you starting? Again, we don't know who the quarterback is. Are you starting Robinson or even Darnell Mooney?
Darnell Mooney is not in consideration. As much as I would love to start Darnell Mooney, you can't trust this offense right now. And so in Allen Robinson, like the you got to just kind of split the middle. Like you just got to kind of split it where you say, okay, he could easily finish outside the top 60 wide receivers this week because this offense is just absolutely terrible. Or he could finish as a top 15 option like we were projecting to begin the season, maybe even top 10. So yeah, I've got him at 33 currently, and that I need to rerun projections. But when you do projections and you sit down and you look at what has happened to this offense so far this year, you should have zero confidence starting Allen Robinson this week.
That is correct. And Cole Kmet?
No, not right now.
Very good. All right, for the Lions, is this the same that we usually do where you obviously start DeAndre Swift, you obviously start TJ Hockenson, and I guess, I mean, you start Jamal Williams as kind of like a high-end flex play at this point?
Yeah, Jamal Williams is at 31 for me in my running back ranking. So he just falls outside of the start sit category that we have there, that threshold. But you can get away with starting Jamal Williams. Otherwise, TJ Hockenson, he was asked to stay in and block more last week. So that's why we didn't see him as productive as he normally has been. We could see that here again this week against the Bears pass rush, but it's TJ Hockenson. You got to start him and you just got to kind of live with it. Yep. But DeAndre Swift, man, I mean, I've got him at 11 on the week, and he has just been absolutely dominant so far this year. We knew that he had the talent, but we didn't know what kind of workload he was going to see where Jamal Williams was in this offense, and you did have at least some wide receivers on this roster who would demand some of the target share. Doesn't matter. DeAndre Swift has produced. He's at 11 for me on the week.
My early projections, Yates, I have him at 9, and it feels so crazy that we're there right now, but I do have him at 9. He's just been everything kind of that we had hoped for, and I agree with you on Williams. Certainly a guy who you're probably starting in half PPR or, you know, any format, really, but more as a flex. And nobody else in the Lions, right?
Correct.
Panthers and Cowboys. Let's start with the Cowboys here. I don't really think there's too much to talk about. You're obviously starting Dak. You're starting Zeke. You're starting C.D. Lamb. And you're starting Amari Cooper. Like, nothing really to talk about with those guys. Is that fair?
Right.
Okay. Are you starting Tony Pollard here?
As a flex, he's actually back to back with Jamal Williams. So he's in that same conversation where you can start him if you need to. But I'm not expecting crazy, crazy things here. Again, this is a really, really fun matchup to watch where Carolina has just suffocated opposing running attacks so far this year. Granted, they haven't played the best competition outside of Alvin Kamara, but that was a fluke game in and of itself. So it's going to be interesting to watch. And I think that they will come through. I think that Carolina is going to give a little bit here with this Dallas rushing attack. But I don't think the upside is there for Tony Pollard this week. So I've got him at 32.
I completely agree with you. I mean, he looks fantastic when he is getting, you know, the snaps. But again, he's pretty much getting a third of the snaps. It's really difficult to rely on guaranteed production. I'm at 37, so I'm with you. Has Dalton Schultz earned enough of your trust to be in your starting lineup?
It's crazy because they are still splitting snaps here, essentially, with Blake Jarwin and Dalton Schultz. I think that this is something where you can play Dalton Schultz if you want to chase the, you know, the target volume and the touchdown upside. Like, But I'm not confidently starting him because he is still splitting snaps with Blake Jarwin. There's a potential that Schultz only sees three targets this week and Jarwin is the guy who sees five, so or five plus, you know. So I can't confidently do it. But in a tight end landscape where these guys that we drafted with high expectations that, you know, we took dart throws on in the later rounds, like Robert Tonyan, like Jonnu Smith, they're not panning out, then you got to try to chase production. And that's kind of where we are with the tight end landscape. So Dalton Schultz can be started if you need him.
Same question, Dalton Schultz or Jonnu Smith this week?
At that point, I think I'll just take, I'll chase the upside with whatever his name was. Dalton Schultz.
Dalton Schultz? How you doing, Yates?
I read Dawson Knox on the screen, and so I was like, no, that's not the right name, and then I panicked. All right.
Get I'm a good. Hold of yourself, Yates. I'm good. I agree with you, by the way. I do have Schultz, who is ranked 19th. So that's what I'm going to say about where I have Jonnu Smith ranked. Schultz is ahead of him. For the Panthers, I mean, how high do you have Chuba Hubbard this week?
So Chuba Hubbard, I have as in the same territory that we talked about him last week, Dan. We talked about Chuba Hubbard after on the Friday podcast. We recapped after the injury, and I said he was going to be in that like 18 to 20 range. I've got him at 19. Because the pass catching volume is not going to be there the way that it was with Christian McCaffrey. Now, Chuba Hubbard can be very productive on the ground. You can get a massive workload there, but I don't think that we're going to see him soak up targets out of the backfield. And that's what he needs to be able to push into the top 15 in rankings. So Chuba Hubbard absolutely belongs in your starting lineup, but just as you know, adjusting expectations, I've got him at 19.
Completely agree. I have him at 18. You're obviously starting DJ Moore, as we mentioned. What about Robbie Anderson? Is this a Robbie Anderson game, Yates?
It can be, but I'm gonna watch it happen on my bench if that is the case, right? I'm gonna watch it happen, and then next week I will move forward with putting Robbie Anderson into my starting lineup. I cannot trust Robbie Anderson in my starting lineups, even though everything signals that he should have a good game. If we're gonna see Trevon Diggs blanket DJ Moore, then the opportunity is gonna be there for Robbie Anderson. But based on everything that we have seen so far this year, you cannot trust Anderson in your starting lineup. So if you do put him in there as a low-end flex play, you are playing with fire, my friend.
Exactly the same, Yates. I have him as a very low-end flex. I have him 46th, but very similar to Allen Robinson, I just have this feeling that cannot be matched by my projections.
Right.
That says this is going to be it, right? Because Diggs is going to take more. They give up a lot of explosive pass plays. They give up a lot of big yardage games to wide receivers. There's no Christian McCaffrey. This has to be the Robbie Anderson game. If it's not, Yates, you got to be completely out for the rest 100%. Of the season, right?
Yep.
Okay. How are you streaming Sam Darnold in this matchup?
He just falls outside the conversation for me. I have Sam Darnold currently at 18. So he's the last line of like streaming quarterbacks that you can get away with. But I have some other options that I would prefer to roll with over Sam Darnold.
Let me ask something. If you roster Ryan Tannehill and neither Julio Jones nor AJ Brown plays, are you starting Tannehill against the Jets or Darnold?
In that instance, I will start Sam Darnold. if Julio plays, I will play Ryan Tannehill.
Yes, exactly how I feel. Excuse me. I'm getting older. I was getting so choked up because when I think about Sam Darnold, obviously I get very, very excited.
Yeah, I bet wish you had him back right now.
You quiet. nobody's talking about that. Okay. Anyway, Yates, before I keep going, this is legit. I have a thing where sometimes I figure out these great gifts for my kids that I'm very excited about, and I get them and I think they're going to love them. And I really think that subconsciously I'm getting them for myself, which I'm only starting to realize. Like, Will loves Patrick Mahomes. Most people listening knows that. Yates, you know that. Sitting on the chair next to me, I'm staring at it right now, is a giant like mock-up framed autographed thing of Patrick Mahomes that I got for Will that he like freaked out about when he first got it and has never looked at it again. And now it just sits in my eyeline when I work because I like watching it. On our guest bed, Yates, is a autographed Derrick Henry jersey, Titans jersey, that Will like said was the best gift he ever got, and then put it on the guest bed and never looked at it again. So it's fine. That's how it works with kids. And ordinarily I'd be upset with that because I was like, hey dude, like, come on. But at least the good thing is that it doesn't cost that much, really, because at Pristine Auction, there are like a million deals that you can get because there are like 10,000 auctions every single day. If you don't believe me, check it out, pristineauction.com. I'm not making it up. You can see the prices are insanely inexpensive. There are a million auctions going on. It has every type of sports memorabilia that you want, signed jerseys, helmets, footballs, other sports. Joe always mentions that they've got Marvel stuff as well. And again, thousands of auctions every single day. I browse pretty much like every night before I'm going to bed. Free to register, free to bid. You only pay if you win something. And again, amazing prices because there are so many auctions. Things just slip through the cracks. Just go to pristineauction.com, P PRISTINE, auction.com. If you want $5 in free credits, use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field when you sign up so they will know that we sent you. Again, that is pristineauction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS. Colts visiting the Dolphins. You're starting Jonathan Taylor, right? You don't, no concerns. Yep. I mean, okay.
I mean, I have concerns.
No, but right. I felt when that was coming out, I was like, well, that doesn't
matter. Wait, that doesn't matter. Right. I got him at 13 on the week. So, okay. But yes, you should still start Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor is a guy who I'm like, I don't really want to start because I'm not excited about Jonathan Taylor, but there's no discussion about whether or not you start Jonathan Taylor. He's just in your lineup. Are you starting anybody else in the Colts?
Michael Pittman Jr., you can start. I've got Pittman currently at 28 on the week. So the target volume is there. I mean, 24 targets over the last 2 weeks. The production, you know, took a dip last week with Carson Wentz just being barely out there. But I think that another week, you know, removed from that injury. And it is a tough matchup against the Miami secondary, but we said the same thing about the Rams. So Michael Pittman Jr., yeah. I think, just belongs in your starting lineup at this point.
Interesting, because he did succeed against the Rams to my great surprise, and it was right off the bat. But I did kind of feel like they figured out, like, oh wait, this is the focal point as that game went on. And I gotta imagine that Xavier Howard is going to be all over him. But you're right, he did succeed with the Rams. I am fading him a little bit more. What about Nyheim Hines? I mean, he's been heavily involved. There's no Marlon Mack. There's Marlon Mack, but he's right. Probably not going to be involved if he plays, whatever. So are you starting Nyheim Hines here?
Yes, you are correct, actually. It's an oversight on my part. I've got Nyheim Hines at 26 on the week. So he's, okay. Again, just based on, he's not going to see a ton of volume. He's kind of in that same territory as Tony Pollard, where it's like he's a complimentary piece, but he'll see enough work. Normally, you know, that would be somewhere it's like, RB 34, 35, but with so many injuries to the running back position this year and so many guys just underperforming, that's kind of where Nyheim Hines just lands, is at RB 26.
Okay, that's high. I like it. So you're starting, for example, Nyheim Hines in half PPR over Josh Jacobs if he plays?
I will probably play Josh Jacobs.
Okay. How about the other running back in this game, Miles Gaskin?
Gaskin, I've got at 20, and that's kind of just where he sits every single week, is because he's going to see work. He's probably not going to find the end zone, but he's not going to hurt my team. He's probably not going to help it either, but he's just going to make sure that I don't get a zero in that running back two spot. So, again, based on the other options, that's kind of just where we're at. And so Miles Gaskin, you can start him, but I'm not excited to.
Okay, lots of targets last week. Are you starting Jaylen Waddle?
Yes, Jaylen Waddle, just based on the target volume, it's probably not going to turn into a ton, but I've got him at 26. I mean, if he's going to see that much work and Jacoby Brissett is going to throw the ball 40 times like he has the past 2 weeks, then the target volume is going to be there. So Jaylen Waddle, yeah, I think that you can, again, not expecting crazy things, but just based on the target volume, I think you start him.
Anybody else in the Dolphins you are considering starting in this matchup?
No. Devontae Parker falls outside my top 40, and then Will Fuller, even if he plays, I'm not looking his way.
Or Mike Gesicki after the big game.
Gesicki, sorry. Yes, he is in the conversation. I have Gesicki currently at 14 on the week. So I think that you can start him. Indianapolis has traditionally shut down opposing tight ends. So that's something to be concerned about here with Gesicki. But again, if the target volume is going to be there, if it last week wasn't a fluke, then he is someone that you can consider starting over guys like Jonnu Smith, like Hunter Henry, you know, even Dalton Schultz.
How about Robert Tonyan versus Mike Gesicki?
Oh, man. Tonyan, I've got at 12 currently on the week, and that's one of the ones where I'm like, I've got him at 12, and I hate that. I hate myself. But the touchdown upside is there for Tonyan, so it's just seeing, all right, which one of these guys is the better chance to find the end zone? I think it's Tonyan.
Yeah, I have Tonyan one spot ahead of Gesicki, but it's 14-15. I don't want to start either one of them if I can get away with it. Browns visiting the Vikings. You're obviously starting Nick Chubb. Is Kareem Hunt... I know we're always starting Kareem Hunt, but obviously coming off the big game last week, where do you have him ranked in your running back
rankings? I think you have to have a little bit more faith in Kareem Hunt based on what we saw last week. I've got him at 18.
Yep, I am at 20. And Odell Beckham Jr. looked healthy last week. Start with the bullet or what?
Yes, absolutely. Odell Beckham Jr. at 22 in my wide receiver rankings.
Yeah, it was really good to see him. And kudos to the Browns. I think they played this very well where, you know, they didn't push him. They ruled him out early before week two just to let him get. And he looked great. Like I was watching that game. I was watching his routes. He really looked crisp and very impressed with what I saw. Right.
Yeah. And we hate it from a fantasy perspective when this stuff happens. But this is the correct way to do it from an NFL perspective. Correct. So, yeah, Odell Beckham Jr. Is back as a low end wide receiver 2 with upside.
And realistically, I'd prefer that teams hold these guys out so you can at least replace them than have them sort of play a few snaps and like barely get involved, which makes you have to start them as a fantasy manager and then take the downside. Anybody else on Cleveland who you are considering starting?
Austin Hooper found the end zone last week, but he only had, what, two targets? I've got him at 20 on the week. It's just a game that I don't want to play with the Cleveland tight end group. So, yeah, Austin Hooper is outside of my start consideration.
I agree. For Minnesota, you are obviously starting Justin Jefferson. You are still starting Adam Thielen because you're guaranteed a touchdown regardless. I'm assuming Dalvin Cook. Again, this is Friday. We don't have the practice reports, but everything is trending up for Dalvin Cook right now, right? We're expecting him to play in this game. Mm-hmm. Very good. How about Kirk Cousins here? You know, he's been dynamite this year, and he's playing well, and he's putting up fantasy points. Are you streaming Kirk Cousins?
Cousins has been fantastic. He's currently the QB6 in fantasy football through 3 weeks. So Kirk Cousins, I've got at 13 on the week. I think that at this point, we just continue to play him.
Couldn't agree more. I've got him at 12. Like, just go for it. There's very little downside in this game. They'll probably need points. There's a high total, so go for it. Any interest in, I mean, KJ Osborne obviously last week came down to earth, and you know, Tyler Conklin got involved. Anybody?
KJ Osborne, I'm not looking at, but Tyler Conklin, I've got at 17. So it's in that same territory of Dalton Schultz and Jonnu Smith. I've got at 19 on the week. So I think that you can look at Tyler Conklin, but I have concerns, right? Because the target volume the previous 2 weeks had been going to KJ Osborne. Then it's flipped. Tyler Conklin got the majority of the target share, and then Osborne took a back seat. So I just have concerns about that moving forward. Are we going to see that again here this week, or is it going to flip? Is it going to be Osborne? I just don't know yet. So I'm playing it safe with my ranking of Tyler Conklin. You can look his way, though.
You know what's funny, Yates, is I feel like this week, more than any other week I can remember, all these tight ends who I don't really want to start but are just in that potential category is very much a you can get away with it, right? Like, I'm like, Dawson Knox, for sure, Robert Tonyan, whatever, Mike Gesicki, okay, Tyler Conklin, you could, Austin Hooper, fine, Dalton Schultz, maybe. Like, that's how basically I feel about the tight end.
I mean,
there are options, right?
Yeah, I mean, looking back to our drafts, like, I just wish that I would have spent up. I wish I would have spent up for Travis Kelce or, you know, Darren Waller, George Kittle. Like, I just wish I would have done that because, man, this tight end landscape, we knew that they were all dart throws, right? We knew, like, when I was talking about Jonnu Smith, it was like, okay, he has the path to become relevant, but it's a dart throw because it is the tight end position. And guys like Tyler Higbee and any of those guys that we talked about and hyped up at the back end of the tight end, you know, one conversation, it's like, you have the secure things and they have the tight ends at the back have the potential to hit. But if they don't, I mean, this is where we're playing. This is the game that we're playing. And the league that I've got Travis Kelce in, I am so happy that I spent up for Travis Kelce.
I feel like every year I should be like, you know, I ranked Kelce. Like, last year it was like a mid tight end two. This year it was like a not tight end two, like second rounder. I'm sorry. And this year was like a late first rounder. And I'm like, man, I just need to like put that guy right to the top of the line. All right, let's get to the Giants visiting the Saints. This is pretty easy for the Saints, right? You're starting Alvin Kamara and nobody else?
That is correct. Alvin Kamara belongs back in starting lineups as a top five option. And then Marquez Callaway, I know people are going to see the box score and they're going to be really excited. That touchdown never should have happened. That was correct. Jameis Winston doing Jameis Winston things, and it should have been picked off. Marquez Callaway got more involved, but I can't trust him just yet. No.
And again, the Giants, you know, have a strong group of quarterbacks So I agree, completely avoid. For the Giants, again, I'm assuming right now that Darius Slayton and Sterling Shepard are not going to play in this game. Yes. Maybe they, you know, who knows, but whatever. So, I mean, your full systems go, or at least starting without question, Saquon Barkley, right, in this game?
Yeah, Saquon Barkley looked to be back to, you know, we had the scare where he left for a little bit of last week's game, but he looked to be back to 100%. So, yeah, you start Saquon Barkley as a RB1. I think I've got him at 12 currently on the week.
Okay, how about Kenny Golladay if we assume both that Shepard and Slayton are out?
I really don't want to play Golladay. The target volume absolutely could be there, but I think that we could see Colin Johnson play a bigger role here. Kadarius Toney could get involved, and Golladay will just play his role. And so if that's the case, I really don't want to live and die with that. So I've got Golladay currently at 41. So he is going to show up on our graphics here as like a sit, but I just don't, I don't want to. You can start him, but I don't want to.
Yeah, I've got him at 45. Yeah. If Slayton or Shepard starts, again, I don't expect it. Are you starting either one?
No, because I don't think that they're going to be at 100%.
Very good. And Evan Ingram?
No.
Very good. Falls below our little, like, you know, you can get away with it, whatever. all right, it's before we keep going. Nobody thinks about this, but you've heard about people getting into accidents or wherever and being airlifted to hospitals. But here's a really unfortunate secret. That's not always covered by your health insurance. And sometimes it's an absolutely massive bill, which is why there's Air Medicare Network. That is there to prepare you in case the unthinkable happens. If a medical emergency arises, Air Medicare Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with zero out-of-pocket expenses. You don't pay a dime. Again, insurance doesn't always cover, you know, maybe any of it, or at least not the full cost of some sort of air transport. And again, it's good to just have secure financial peace of mind in these times. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year. That's it for your entire household, not just you. And also, by the way, right now as a Fantasy Bros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Just visit airmedcarenetwork.com/Fantasy Pros and use offer code Fantasy Pros. No matter where you are in the game of life, an Air Medicare Network membership is the protection that you should not live without. Titans at the Jets. Again, right now, Yates, I'm assuming A.J. Brown, I'm almost certain, is going to be out for this game.
Correct.
I'm assuming that Julio Jones is not going to play in this game right now.
Correct.
Regardless, obviously, Derrick Henry is a top start. Ryan Tannehill, again, this depends for you whether you start him on whether Julio Jones plays or does not play. Is that right?
Yes. He would fall to the back end of that streaming conversation. So honestly, probably I would just move. I've got Tannehill at 15 right now with Julio Jones statted to play. That's just where my projections are currently. At that point, Tannehill would drop to 18 and then Sam Darnold would move up to 17. That's kind of just where I'm at.
Okay. And let's assume Julio Jones does not. If Julio Jones does play, you start him, right?
Yes. Again, in this matchup, yes.
In this matchup, correct, obviously. Now, let's assume he does not play.
The answer is no. The answer
all right, is no. Fine. No, all right. No Chester Rogers, no Nick Westbrook Akina. Just ignore.
No, I mean, they're sneaky plays, but you are playing with fire if you want to put Westbrook Akina in your flex spot. That's a roll of the dice, man.
Derrick Henry, 50 carry game coming.
Over. I'll take the over.
Yates, fancy points, over under 30.2.
Give me the over.
All right, for the Jets. Are you starting Corey Davis, Yates?
Yes, I still think that you can look at Corey Davis, and that's about it on this Jets offense. It is bad, bad. Corey Davis, where do I have Davis? I have him at 36 on the week. So, yes, low-end wide receiver three.
He's going to fall somewhere within 32 and 36 for me. It's kind of those guys are all right there. It depends on if Julio plays, all this stuff. But I agree. And also another game where I could see a big game for Corey Davis coming here. Same way I could with Robbie Anderson. Same way I could with Allen Robinson. I could see like the big game. Finally, they don't have to face a tougher defense. But again, you mentioned it. That is the only player on the Jets who are considering starting, correct?
Yes.
Chiefs visiting the Eagles for the Chiefs. Again, real easy. You know you're starting Mahomes. You know you're starting Hill. You know you're starting Kelce. And you're starting Clyde Edwards-Helaire, right?
Yes. Still in that. I gave him a slight bump up from where he was last week. But I'm still, I'm excited for what I saw last week, but I'm not going crazy with it. I've got CEH at 16 on the week.
How about Mecole Hardman? Still just a guy maybe to stash, but not start?
Correct. He's not seeing enough targets here. He found the end zone last week, I think, with a 3-for-33 line off the top of my head. So I think that it's not enough to push Hardman into the start-worthy consideration. He's this bench stash for me, and that might not be the case moving forward if Josh Gordon gets up to speed here pretty soon. So, again, it's not like I'm buying into Josh Gordon from a fantasy perspective, but it does cancel out the upside for Hardman.
Over under 2.5 carries for Miles Sanders in this game.
I'll take it. I can't confidently say that.
Can we please give him carries for once in our lives? All right, you're starting Miles Sanders, correct?
As a low-end RB2, where he always has been, yes.
Yeah, 19th for me. And Jalen Hurts, I mean, this is the beauty of Jalen Hurts. We saw him play an absolutely horrible game where, by the way, you should always be on a text string with Yates when Jalen Hurts is doing poorly because he loves to rub it in your face. And then he finishes as a top 10 QB, so screw you, man. Where do you have Hurts ranked?
I have him at 9 this week.
You are too low. I am at 6. Boom. Devontae's.
The thing, I'll talk about Jalen Hurts really quick. The matchup, you know, we think about the Chiefs and we think about a pretty like solid pass defense. No, they're allowing the most fantasy points to opposing quarterbacks this season. So
this is a
matchup where, you know, Jalen Hurts, he could struggle as a passer again. And like I predicted this offseason, but, you know, he's going to, the garbage time could be there like it was last week. I think you just continue to start Jalen Hurts and you close your eyes. You don't watch the game.
Yeah, I like watching because I know eventually it's going to happen. So I have no fear whatsoever. I agree, but that is something Pat and I talked about a couple times this week, which is that Kansas City defense. We always thought of them as like, maybe a little bend don't break, but very solid, like especially limiting wide receivers. Now they're just like a gift for wide receivers. With that said, are you starting Devontae Smith in this game?
Oh, man. I think that, again, he's in the consideration. I have Devontae Smith currently at... Oh my word, 39. So he is just inside that threshold where you can still start him, but as a low end wide receiver three, high end flex option, where he should see enough targets and the matchup is great. So I think that you should start him, but the low floor because of the passing.
Yep. I have him at 38. I agree with you completely. How about Dallas Goedert here?
I really don't want to start Dallas Goedert. And with that being said, he is currently tight end 11. So
yes, that is right.
Just where we're at.
Tight end 11 is actually the correct answer. Well done. Cardinals visiting the Rams. Of course, you're starting Kyler Murray. Start either or both of the Arizona running backs here.
Chase Edmonds still belongs. He's in that same territory as Myles Gaskin, where it's like, I know that I'm going to get some work here from Chase Edmonds. Probably not going to find the end zone, but he brings a safe floor. So I've got him at 24 on the week. I think that you can start Chase Edmonds. James Conner was a product of the game script last week. And so I think that that's the reason why he was able to find the end zone twice. I'm not going crazy. I'm not expecting that he is going to become super involved here. So James Conner falls outside my top 30.
Yeah, for me, is I think right now I'm at 41.
I've got him at 40. Yep.
Yep. Yeah. We've seen this game the same way. So with that said, very quickly, let's talk about DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, he was, kind of a game time call last week. He had the down game. Now he draws probably Jalen Ramsey. Where do you have Hopkins ranked this week?
I have Hopkins at 18. I am not completely panicking over his usage last week. I think that the injury did play at least a part in that. The matchup here against Jalen Ramsey, I think that that does play a role in where I am ranking DeAndre Hopkins. So I've got him at 18 on the week.
I have him at 17, so we see this the exact same way. What about the other Cardinals wide receivers? Are you starting any of them?
A tougher matchup, so you got to downgrade him at least a little bit here. But Christian Kirk, I mean, he's been playing on fire to start the year. So Christian Kirk is a start for me. He is at wide receiver 40, so one spot just below Devontae Smith. And then Rondale Moore, the conversation with Rondale Moore has been, or at least what the conversation I was having throughout the offseason was, I don't know what his consistency is going to be. I think that he has the talent to be, to bring huge potential, but what's the consistency in this offense when you have guys like AJ Green, when you have Christian Kirk, who I think was going to be productive. And then, so Rondale Moore, he came back down to earth last week just because of the nature of the offense. So I've got him at 48 on the week as the last player that I'm looking to consider as a flex play. It does bring upside just based on his usage, but the volume might not be there.
I'm fading Kirk and Moore this way. I'll start Hopkins because he's DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, you're starting him. I'm just not going near, if I can avoid it, the rest of the receivers. I wouldn't be surprised if one or more of them has a good game, but for me, they'll probably be on my bench for the Rams. You can only start one in this game. Are you starting Cooper Kupp or Stephon Diggs? You can only start one this week.
Who would you start? The answer is Cooper Kupp.
That's right.
This is ridiculous what he is doing so far this year. The amount, the target share that he has in this offense is just stupid. When we go through and we do projections, we try to stay measured and we try to say all right, this is the most likely outcome. Yeah. A most likely outcome was not to project Cooper Kupp with a 38% target share or whatever through 3 weeks. Correct. So, but it's happened and Matthew Stafford absolutely loves him. It's hurting Robert Woods as a result. And it sucks because, I loved Robert Woods this year. Thought that the upside was there. I just got the receiver wrong. Cooper Kupp, man, has just been unstoppable. He's at wide receiver 2 on the week for me.
Yeah, I go back and forth between 2 and 3. Right now, I'm at 3 just because I can't really put him above Tyreek Hill or Devontae Adams yet. But let's talk about Woods. Where does Woods fall? It's been a complete disappointment this year.
It really has been. I've got Woods at 34 on the week.
Wow. Okay. Yep. So you're full fading then. Okay. But you're still, obviously you're starting as a low end wide receiver 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
He still belongs in starting lineups, but you got to adjust expectations. And it's been that through the first 3 weeks. It's been all right. We got to adjust expectations. I think he's going to be a low end wide receiver 2. Okay. We got to adjust expectations. He's going to be a high end wide receiver 2. And it's just continued to tick down. It's Cooper Kupp's show and Tyler Higbee is going to be involved. And then you might see a big breakaway play from, DeShaun Jackson or Van Jefferson here or there.
Yep.
Robert Woods. I don't know what he did to Matthew Stafford, but he doesn't like him. So it's going to Cooper Kupp.
I mean, it's working for him, so who cares, I guess. Right. I mean, I'm not going to criticize him. Yeah, you are starting. Tyler Higbee's just, if you roster him, you don't think about taking him out, right? He's just in your line. Mm-hmm. Okay. I have Woods, by the way, right now at 27, just so you know. So we're both at wide receiver 3. Just, again, I'm a little higher, but generally speaking, I have no confidence with Darrell Henderson. And Matthew Stafford is locked in your lineup, I assume, correct. So I'm not even going to ask you. With Daryl Henderson trending up, he's practicing. Sounds like a pain tolerance issue. But obviously, you've got Sony Michel, who now probably has a better understanding of the playbook, looked pretty good last week in a tough matchup here. So assuming Henderson plays, how do you value him, knowing that he's probably going to cede some snaps here to Sony Michel?
I actually don't know if that's going to be the case. I mean, even if he does, it's not going to be enough where it hurts Henderson, because Henderson's upside comes through his work in the red zone because of how frequently Los Angeles is there. So yep. Henderson, I think if he does play, I'll probably slide him in right above CEH this week at RB16. That's probably where I'm going to slide him in.
Wow. Okay. I am assuming he plays, and I have him at RB24. And the reason is that I don't think if he plays, he's great. I love him and everything like that. But because it's a pain tolerance issue, because he's playing through an injury, not performance wise, I think if he's fully healthy, he dominates that backfield. But I do think that I could see a much more, at least in this first game back, with the pain tolerance issue, it being more of like a 60%, 70% sort of snap, ceding some to Michel. Now, if he doesn't play, where do you have Michel? Would you have Michel?
I would put him in that low end RB2 conversation. I'd probably play him right above Miles Sanders, so probably at like RB21.
Perfect. I'm right there with you. Seahawks visiting the 49ers. You're starting Russell Wilson. You're starting Chris Carson. Are we expecting Tyler Lockett to play right now, or do we think he's going to miss this one?
He was a DNP on Thursday, so we need to monitor that. That'll be something to pay attention to here on Friday. Obviously, we don't have those practice reports as we're recording in the morning, like you mentioned. So if Tyler Lockett does play, you play him, right? But
For sure.
But I don't think that he is going to be as consistent. We saw that last week. Like, he's not going to be as consistent as we thought that he would be in this new offense. So I think if he does play, you play him as a high-end wide receiver too, where you can live with the potential range of outcomes. But if he doesn't play, then DK Metcalf belongs in your lineup as a top five wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, you're just starting all these guys every week. Matchups doesn't matter, really. So anybody else in the Seahawks other than two receivers, Carson and Wilson?
I'm paying attention. You're not playing him, but I'm paying attention to Dee Eskridge this week. He's returning to practice here in a limited fashion off of the concussion. If Tyler Lockett does not play, that is a massive opportunity for Eskridge. So if Tyler Lockett is ruled out and you have space on the bottom of your bench, add Eskridge going into this matchup. He might not hit, but it's worth the gamble to be able to get ahead of the waiver wire. Where you can add Eskridge, and if he goes off, then you've got that player on your bench already. You didn't get him, you didn't have to worry about the waiver wire.
Yep. For the 49ers, there is some concern here, Yates, and it came across earlier today already about Kittle. They were saying, right, he looks like he's going to play with the calf thing. But calves are very, very tricky, man. Those are actually the types of injuries that make me worried more almost than any other injury like this, because they can linger. You can aggravate them. So for now, Kittle is very up in the air. But obviously, if he plays, you are starting Kittle. How about the wide receivers here? You're still starting Debo Samuel, I assume?
Yes, of course. Debo Samuel, top 20 option. And then Brandon Ayuk is outside my top 40. I've got him at 42.
Yep, I agree with you. For the running backs, Elijah Mitchell trending up here. I assume Mitchell is going to play. Are you starting him?
Yes, if he does play, you start him as a low-end RB2. I'd probably play him just above Chase Edmonds, so I'd probably slide Mitchell in at RB24.
Okay, yeah, I have him right now as if he's playing, and he's RB26. If Mitchell doesn't play, are you going anywhere near the San Francisco backfield?
No. Trey Sermon maybe would slide in above guys like Mike Davis inside my top 30, but not expecting crazy things.
A little bit of a desperation play for me if Mitchell. But Mitchell, I agree with you. I have him again at 26, so I would start him there. Ravens going to the Broncos. Obviously, Lamar Jackson dealing with the back flare-up, but everything suggests he is going to play. You are starting Mark Andrews, of course. Are you starting Dropsy's Hollywood Brown?
In this matchup, I actually think I have Marquise Brown outside my top 40. I think that is projecting that Rashad Bateman is going to return to the lineup. So Marquise Brown, I've got at 45 on the week, just in this matchup up against Denver's secondary. I don't think that we're going to see those big play abilities or big play potential. And it's not a guarantee that he reels them in. Those drops last week were brutal. He would have had just a monstrous performance and would have helped Lamar Jackson in a big way. And actually the Ravens too, they would have won that game.
Yes. So, they did win that game.
Well, yeah, I know. they would have won it easily. rather than the longest kick in NFL history bouncing off the middle of the crossbar.
I loved it.
Rashad Bateman, you're not starting him yet, but if he is available on your waiver wire and you have a spot on the bottom of your bench, I think he's worth scooping up here. But that's Marquise Brown projecting that Bateman is going to return to the lineup. Marquise Brown, if Bateman doesn't play, would probably slide in just inside my top 40, maybe above guys like Devontae Smith.
So I'm a little higher. I am not projecting Bateman to play right now. Again, he was activated, but he's got, 21 days here to come back. So my guess is he needs a little time. Maybe he does. If he does, I am fading Brown a little more than I am right now. But I still have Brown right now at 30. He's just getting, you know, he is getting, I feel like we have a very different opinion of him if he randomly doesn't have the drops these last week. He's been heavily involved. Lamar Jackson is pushing the ball down the field a lot more than kind of I expected. So I would start him if there is no Bateman. If there is Bateman, I'm a little less excited about him. What about the running backs right now? Tyson Williams looked like he was a sort of a trustworthy guy, like a low end RB2. Then he's done. So what do you think? Are you starting anybody from the Ravens backfield?
Williams crushed me last week. Harbaugh crushed me last week with the usage of Tyson Williams Williams was still looking great. And they were like, hey, you know what would be fun if we gave Latavius Murray more carries than Tyson Williams? It made zero sense. And I think that was a big reason why that game went to the wire. If you give Williams the ball, it's your recipe for winning the game. And it makes zero sense why they didn't do that, but I've got Williams at 25 on the week. In this tougher matchup, I think you got to adjust some expectations.
Oh, man. All right. Well, maybe I'm the crazy one then. I have him completely off my board, 39. I have no interest in starting a Baltimore running back in this game because if I can't feel confident of what I'm going to see against the Lions, what do I feel like I'm going to be able to see in Denver right now? Like, I will take my chances with a guy like Tony Pollard. Like, I'll take Pollard.
You got to play the narrative, though. You got to play the narrative game and just be like, they have to look at what they did last week and be like, you know what? This didn't work. Let's give the most talented running back the touches.
But as you said, it could have worked if Marquise Brown could have caught a football that was, you know, several footballs, right? They could have dominated that game entirely, right? They could have done whatever they wanted, you know? So I think it's a fair point. And look, I think the way I feel about it is if Tyson Williams goes off and he's on my bench, I can live with it. Sure. Like that's what I say, you know? So I'm fading him right now. Maybe he moves up a few spots, but yeah. All right. I love it. Okay. Let's get to the Broncos. Are you starting both running backs for the Broncos in this game?
Yeah. I've got Melvin Gordon at 23, Javonte Williams at 27.
Okay. How about both wide receivers, Sutton and Patrick?
Yes. Sutton, I still have more faith in. They just didn't need the wide receivers last week. They absolutely did not need them. So you didn't see a big game from Courtland Sutton. You did from Tim Patrick, but Courtland Sutton, I've got at 24, and then Tim Patrick, I've got at 37. Tim Patrick is still what, like 25% roster, 30.
It doesn't matter what we say.
It's ridiculous. This guy just produces no matter what. And now you have KJ Hamler out for the year too. So the target share is absolutely going to open up. I think Patrick brings a very, very high floor.
Yeah, I agree. And Noah Fant, just kind of a set it tight end, forget it.
Yeah, again, Hamler going out opens things up for Fant from a target share perspective. And again, they didn't need him last week. So that's part of it. But no, he definitely did disappoint last week. But Noah Fant, tight end 10 for me.
Okay, me too. So we're good to go. Steelers visiting the Packers. Every wide receiver apparently now has some sort of injury going on here. It does sound like Deontay Johnson got in a full practice, so it sounds like he's trending towards playing with his knee injury. Are you starting him if he does?
I think based on the target share, he would slide in as a mid-range wide receiver 3 for me, probably.
Yeah, and Claypool, it sounds like he's going to play as well, but he did get a little banged up here in practice. And Juju Smith-Schuster in limited practice with a rib injury. I guess, how do you feel about both those guys, and does it matter if one of them does or does not play?
Claypool would probably be still in that like high-end to mid-range wide receiver 3 territory for me. Probably play him just above Emmanuel Sanders. Allen Robinson I've got at 33. I'd probably play Claypool over him. And then Juju Smith-Schuster is probably still just going to slide in wherever he normally has been as outside of my top 40.
Yep, you never start Juju Smith-Schuster, and you've been correct, so good for you. Okay, and Najee Harris, I mean, just the target volume makes up for the fact that offensive line is terrible.
Yeah, I wrote in the game plan for this week in Najee Harris's player blurb, I was like, hey, remember when Darren Waller got 19 targets in week one as a tight end? And then that happened to a running back in week 3. It's ridiculous. This offense is just terrible. But, terrible. I mean, the volume in the receiving game is going to be there for Najee Harris. So top 10 option on the week.
Cures a lot of the ills. And although you love him and are monitoring him long-term, you're not starting Pat Freiermuth.
That is correct.
Very good. For Green Bay, you are starting Aaron Rodgers. You are starting Aaron Jones. You are starting Devontae Adams. So very quickly, Robert Tonyan, where did you say you wound up having him ranked in your tight end rankings?
Again, all it's right. One of those things where it's just like, I don't want to play Robert Tonyan, but what better option are you going to have? That's kind of the conversation.
Anybody else? I mean, MVS, if he plays in this game?
No, I don't actually think that he's even going to play. I think that
he's going to miss
practice this entire week. So, yeah, I don't think that he's going to play. The volume still isn't there. I mean, Davante Adams had a 50-something percent target share in week three. Like, you don't start any of the other options.
I agree. Bucks visiting the Patriots. Let's start with the Patriots here. Terrible matchup, of course, for Damian Harris. Are you starting him in this one?
He is still technically within my top 30 running backs, but there is the potential that what happened last week happens again here, and they just get boat raced, and Damian Harris is moved to the sidelines. Even in a tough matchup, with that potential game script playing out and then the tough matchup on top of it, no, I've got Damian Harris at 28, and that still just feels too high.
I have him at 33, and that still feels too high. So I agree with you completely. Again, we've talked about John. Are you starting Jacoby Myers in this game?
Yes. As a mid-range wide receiver three, you're just banking on the target volume. If Jones is going to have to throw 40-plus times again in this one, which he is going to, then, you know, Jacoby Myers should see plenty of targets and bring a safe floor. Very, very little upside, though.
Yes. And nobody else in the Patriots?
Correct. Jonnu Smith is tied for the seventh most targets at the tight end position, but it is just not translating to production. He's struggled with drops this year. It's just not working. So for the time being, no.
Very good, Yates. I'm proud of you. Proud of you for basically getting yourself there mentally. And Jonnu, who I know is probably listening because he's got to listen to his greatest fan. It's okay. We still love you.
I need you to do something, buddy.
we hope better days are ahead, my friend. Still rostering you. Okay. For the Bucks, might be easier to say, who are you not starting in this game? But obviously, Brady with a bullet. Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Rob Gronkowski, I'm sure, will play. How about Antonio Brown?
Yes. Just inside my top 40.
Very good. How about the running backs here? You're not starting. What about if Gio's out?
I know. I know. So Fournette gets the bump up as the receiving back in that instance. But
yes,
man, I don't want to trust him. He would be probably in that same territory as Damian Harris, actually, where I'd probably play Fournette over Harris. But if I do play Fournette, I'm closing my eyes. I'm not watching this game, even though it's on Sunday Night Football.
You're watching this game. It's Sunday Night Football. Okay. I'm a little more bullish just because I do expect Gio to miss this game. And the alternative to Leonard Fournette is Ronald Jones. So the volume's going to be there for him. And again, as you mentioned, he will be the pass catching back.
Right.
I highly doubt it's going to be a negative game script, but still that will be involved at some point. So yeah, just start everybody and don't close your eyes. Watch this game. It's Brady against the Bucks.
Brady's throwing for a minimum of 10 touchdowns.
Oh, God. Out of curiosity, Yates, where is he?
Brady is currently at QB4 on the week.
Oh, man, he's 5 for me. I got to move him up then. Raiders visiting the Chargers at Monday Night Football. Let's start with the Chargers here. Again, pretty easy right now. You've got Justin Herbert, who's a start. You've got Austin Eckler, who's an obvious start. You've got Keenan Allen, who's an obvious start. And how high now are we ranking Mike Williams this week?
This is completely tags. This is tags for you, where he goes out on a limb and he says Mike Williams is going to have a major year, and he's doing it. Mike Williams is at wide receiver 8 for me.
He's 6 for me right now, which is so dumb. But as long as he's healthy, there's nothing not to like about what this is. How about Jared Cook, a guy who I basically did not want anything to do with coming into the year, but was pretty involved. What do you think?
Pretty involved is a stretch. It's involved.
For a tight end.
I know.
What do you want?
It's involved enough. I've got him at 13.
You can get away with him. Yes, that's what we'll say about him. Yeah, I've got him at 11. Nobody else on the Chargers, right?
No.
Okay, for the Raiders, you're starting Darren Waller, of course. Are you starting Derek Carr in this one?
Derek Carr currently has 1,200 passing yards on the season.
No big deal.
He's at QB12 for me on the week. Despite the tougher matchup, against the Chargers pass defense, you've got to start Derek Carr at this point. It's been ridiculous what he's doing. I think he's going to bring a safe floor. And if they're going to continue to pass the ball as much as they have, then you got to start him.
All right, so assuming Josh Jacobs does play, and it does look good right now for Jacobs, where do you have him against the Chargers' rush defense that's been pretty beatable so far?
They're allowing the most rushing yards per game. I think Josh Jacobs at that point would slide into the probably just above Kareem Hunt for me, around RB 18, RB 17.
I like it. We see what Peyton Barber can do, so why not Josh Jacobs in a soft matchup? Last one, the wide receivers, are you starting any of them for the Raiders?
Yes, as flex options, I think that you can start Henry Ruggs. Where did Ruggs end up for me? Ruggs is at 30 for me. So I am loving what the Raiders are doing with Henry Ruggs and his usage. We saw this last week where they brought him in motion, brought him in towards the line of scrimmage, and then had him pivot back out and get those free releases. This is what I wanted to see last year. This entire time was like, this is how you use Ruggs. Just get the ball in his hands and let him create, and they're starting to do it. So Henry Ruggs for me is at wide receiver 30. And then I've got Hunter Renfro at 46 and Brian Edwards at 49. So they fall outside that start territory, but Hunter Renfro in full PPR formats, I think, would bump up just inside my top 40.
Man, I am not that high on Ruggs, but I like it. I like the boldness. I have him in the like mid to low 40s here, so I'm still fading him a little bit. Again, I like all these guys, but they're all kind of bunched for me. I don't know whether or not Ruggs is going to be just the breakout guy. But regardless, I love it. It was great to talk to you, Yates. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to TickPick. Don't forget to go to tickpick.com/pros, where TickPick and Zip have teamed up to give away 5 season ticket NFL packages to the 2022 NFL season. Again, that's TickPick.com/pros. Thanks also to Pristine Auction. Remember, thousands of auctions every single day. PristineAuction.com, PRISTINE, auction.com. Use our code FANTASYPROS in the registration field. You will get $5 credit. Finally, thank you to Air Medcare Network. Be prepared for the unexpected. Memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/FANTASYPROS and use offer code Fantasy Pros. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll be back in on Sunday night with Pat to recap all of your week 4 action.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.